KJAN Sports.
It's time to check sports. Good morning, I'm Jim Field. Our sports update this morning brought to you by Detter Motor Company in downtown Atlantic. Experience the Detter difference. Iowa football coach Kirk Ferentz says he has spoken to several former players to discuss alleged racial disparities within the program. An independent review of the strength and conditioning program is underway, and longtime strength coach Chris Doyle has been placed on administrative leave after several former Hawkeye players made accusations on social media.
Our program is demanding. It has been demanding from the start. And, you know, players I talked to and heard from, I think, are largely appreciative of that. And to be appreciative of a program that, you know, where they can come in, work hard, and show improvement and excel. One big point of distinction, you know, in coaching, in life really, but in coaching, there is a difference between being demanding and then also potentially being demeaning. And to be demeaning, for any player to feel demeaning, is not acceptable.
Ferentz is putting together an advisory committee of former players in the hopes that problems like this don't go undetected.
And I think that's really one of the big lessons I've learned here. I've got to do a better job of proactively asking questions, seeking things out, asking more hard questions. The bottom line is here, I can ask more hard questions than need to, and that's really the concept with the advisory committee, is to do a better job of that.
Ferentz was asked if there is a culture of fear in the program that prevented players from speaking out until they left the program.
Clearly, there's not enough candid conversation, or the players haven't felt safe enough to visit freely or give me feedback. And again, you know, to complain we're working too hard, that's one thing. But the line is, you know, feeling respected and, maybe feel like they were demeaned. I owe it to Chris and I owe it to our players to investigate as thoroughly as I possibly can.
Ferentz says he's discussed all facets of the program with former players, even his effectiveness as head coach.
I did ask multiple players if they feel like I'm part of the problem, or if they feel like, you know, we can't move forward with me here, then I'd appreciate that feedback. And, you know, that's not what I've heard thus far, but, you know, My commitment is to us having a good program and having a healthy team and improving the environment. That's what everybody wants to see. All the former players I've visited with, white or black, just want to see us improve in all areas.
Iowa football strength and conditioning coach Chris Doyle denies any unethical behavior or bias based on race after being accused by some former players of contributing to what they allege is systemic racism in the program. Doyle was placed on administrative leave Saturday. That move was made by Coach Kirk Ferentz in what he called a defining moment for Iowa's football program. Several black former players posted on social media Friday night about issues they saw in the football program and attributed many to Doyle. The 51-year-old assistant coach issued a statement Sunday on Twitter in which he disputes those claims. Coach Ferentz also says there are a lot of new guidelines in place as veteran players begin returning to the football facility to begin their voluntary workouts.
The workouts are going to be spaced out, so there'll be more time in between. So everybody will have a chance to get their workouts in, you know, if they need to get treatments, things of that nature. That'll be done, and that'll all be highly organized. And then obviously we want to give the players a chance to get changed, get cleaned up, get changed, get out, and then we make sure that we can sanitize and wash, make sure everything's clean, both in the weight room and also in the locker room.
Players, coaches, and staff will be monitored as they enter the facility, and workouts will be spaced out to allow for cleaning.
We'll do all we can to best control the things that we think are controllable. And then a huge part of the component for all of us, players, coaches, anybody involved, huge component for each and every one of us, and it's going to be this way right through January, as far as I can tell, just everybody taking personal responsibility and really exhibiting a new level of discipline. But we all have a responsibility with that, and I think that's certainly first and foremost.
Ferentz says it's critical everyone takes the steps needed to promote safety.
All this has the understanding that, you know, if we do a good job at that, we have a chance, hopefully, to play football this fall, and that's something that's important to all of us, certainly. So hopefully that'll be good motivation for everybody to take extra precautions as we move forward.
Hawkeyes will open up their season on September 5th. In other football news, Ken Riley was a Ball Hawk defensive back in the NFL before serving as a head coach and athletic director at his alma mater, Florida A&M. The school has announced that Riley died early Sunday morning at 72. No cause of death was given. Riley was a four-year starting quarterback at Florida A&M and a Rhodes Scholar candidate before he was taken by the Cincinnati Bengals in the sixth round of the 1969 AFL-NFL draft. Moved to cornerback by head coach Paul Brown, Riley had 65 career interceptions for 596 yards and five touchdowns in a 15-year career with the Bengals. He also recovered 18 fumbles, and his interception total ranks fifth in NFL history. Although named a first-team All-Pro three times and a second-teamer on two other occasions, Riley still hasn't been elected to the Pro Football Hall of Fame despite his impressive statistics. He landed on the All-Pro first team in 1993, his final season. Riley coached the Rattlers from 1986 to 93, going 48-39-2 with two Mideastern Athletic Conference titles. He took A&M to the second-ever Heritage Bowl, losing to Grambling State in 1992. Former NFL defensive end John Zook has died in his native Kansas after a long battle with cancer. Zook originally was taken by the Los Angeles Rams in the fourth round in 1969, but was subsequently traded to the Atlanta Falcons. He teamed with Hall of Famer Claude Humphrey to give the Falcons a dynamic combination at defensive end from 1969 to 1975. Zook never missed a game during his tenure with the Falcons, starting 97 of 98 contests. He made his only Pro Bowl appearance in 1973, joining Humphrey in the All-Star game. Zook played his last four seasons with the St. Louis Cardinals before retiring after that, as brother Dean Zook confirmed the death to the Atlanta Journal-Constitution. Former University of Florida and NFL wide receiver Reish Caldwell was fatally shot Saturday night in his hometown. Caldwell's mother confirmed her son's death to the Tampa Bay Times, saying police told her they believe her son was ambushed outside his home in a possible robbery attempt. Caldwell was drafted by San Diego in the second round in 2002. He had 152 catches for 1,851 yards and 11 touchdowns in six NFL seasons, four with the Chargers and one each with New England and Washington. Caldwell was awaiting sentencing this month after pleading guilty to a charge of conspiracy to commit health care fraud, along with several other former NFL players. He also served prison time in 2014 on a drug charge. Well, Kevin Harvick is a winner at the site of his first NASCAR Cup victory. Harvick turned in another dominating run at Atlanta Motor Speedway, cruising to victory over Kyle Busch and Martin Truex Jr. Harvick won for the second time since NASCAR returned from the shutdown caused by the coronavirus pandemic, adding to his emotional victory at Darlington in the first race back. Harvick came into the day having led 1,138 laps on the 1.54-mile Atlanta Tri-Oval, far more than any other driver in the 40-car field. He now has 51 wins, breaking a tie with Ned Jarrett and Junior Johnson for the 12th spot on the career wins list. Three of those triumphs have come at Atlanta Motor Speedway, including in 2001 and 2018. Busch ended up second, followed by Truex, Ryan Blaney, and Denny Hamlin. Seven-time Cup champion Jimmy Johnson was seventh in what may have been his final Atlanta appearance. Johnson plans to retire as a driver after the season. NASCAR acknowledged the social unrest in the country and vowed to do a better job of addressing racial injustice in the wake of George Floyd's death. NASCAR President Steve Phelps addressed drivers and teams on the track before the race, saying the black community and all people of color have suffered in our country, and it's taken far too long for us to hear their demands for change. Our sport must do better, and our country must do better. Bubba Wallace donned a black T-shirt with the words, "I can't breathe," and "Black Lives Matter." Wallace is the only African-American in the top-level series. Green Bay is turning its men's basketball program over to Will Ryan. Athletic Director Charles Guthrie has announced that the school and the 41-year-old Ryan have agreed to a deal in principle, though final contract details are still being worked out. The son of former Wisconsin head coach Bo Ryan comes to Green Bay after posting a 14-13 record in his only season as the head coach at Division II Wheeling in West Virginia. That is our check of sports this hour, brought to you by Detter Motor Company in downtown Atlantic. Experience the Detter difference. I'm Jim Field, KJAN Sports.